Jewish news from down under.
Down under.
With Vic Aladaf.
Good day, mate.
Vic Aladaf, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Very intrigued by that last item of news.
Well, you know, on my runner tells me that today's fanny pack day, and I thought, like, what on earth? Why are we talking about this? Like, I haven't seen one of these in years. And then Zanati said, oh, no, Beyonce, and who else, Zanati?
Rihanna,
Beyonce, the Kardashians, everybody's sporting fanny packs. But, look, I've never seen one, but I thought maybe in Australia they're all the rage right now.
This is beyond my pay grade.
And that makes two of us, Vic. All right. What isn't beyond your pay grade is what's going on in Australia. The Merchant of Venice production carries a warning of anti-Semitic content. Tell me about this.
I think it's actually quite admirable. As we know, I mean, Merchant of Venice, you know, it was written 400 years ago by Shakespeare, has been performed all over the world continually. And every time it is, well, often when it is, there are debates and controversies about the anti-Semitism. Is there, wasn't there, should there be emphasis on it? And so what's happening now is at the University of Western Australia, which is over on our west coast in Perth, the play is being shown, The Merchant of Venice is being shown. And I would say to the credit of the producer, she has attached quite detailed notes in the program and it's saying that there is warning that there is anti-Semitic language. And not only that, but then there's a detailed explanation. And I'll just read a couple of lines from it. The Merchant of Venice is a difficult play for many reasons. And then fast forwarding, since the Holocaust, this play cannot be experienced without the haunting reminder of this horrific event. When I, the producer, first chose this play, I wondered whether it would be still relevant to 21st century audiences. But when I heard of recent attacks on Jewish people around the world, including here in Australia, as well as an increased reporting of the rise of far-right extremist groups, I made the unfortunate realization it is indeed still relevant. And then she goes on to explain why Shylock reacted the way he did, that he was humiliated, while his method of revenge is not condonable, yet the accumulation of assaults and insults on him, he couldn't bear it any longer. A really mature, I thought.
I think it's incredible,
and
actually.
Sober. It is. Yeah. And one doesn't, you know, we've been aware of the Merchant of Venice forever.
Right. Yeah.
But I've actually never come across program notes which have really, you know, put some very important context around why Shylock did what he did.
Well, the reason I also like this is it would have been so much more 2019 to avoid it completely and do something else because we don't want to offend anybody. So rather what
exactly
they did
right.
was they didn't write off what's an important Shakespearean play, but they actually educate people alongside it. I actually think this is absolutely brilliant. And it's a very good approach to literature in general, because we are starting to see this. You know, even if you look at, whether it's in the modern context, something like, you know, how we deal with, Roald Dahl, who was an anti-Semite, but wrote, magnificent works, how we deal with all sorts of things. And, you know, where we have a context today and an understanding today that perhaps we didn't quite have. So I think this is a very, very good example and a very good methodology of how to deal with a lot of these things. Instead of just writing it off and saying, well, that's it, we're never revisiting that play again, you know, use it as an opportunity.
I think you put it very well. It's, as you say, it's too easy to say, just put this in the too hard basket. Let's find something else.
Yeah.
And instead, this producer has taken a very mature response and found such a considered way of putting it into a very important context.
Incredible.
Exactly.
All right. So tell me about a Holocaust survivor using a Eurovision entrance song to launch his book.
So this is as we know, Australia is in Eurovision.
Yes.
I mean, don't ask why. The last time I checked the map, we kind of weren't in Europe, but that's a mere detail. So Australia is in Eurovision, which is coming up, as you know, in Tel Aviv in May. And our entrant is a singer called Kate Miller-Heidecker. And where the Jewish connection comes in is that a few years ago, prior to Eurovision connection, she sang a song which is all about helping, all about a survivor, and not a Holocaust survivor, just about surviving difficulties in life. And one of the survivors in Australia launched his book and asked her, this is way back when, a few years ago, if he could use her song, the one she sang some years ago, to, as a theme song when he, at his book launch of his Holocaust survivor story. And she was quite happy for that to happen. And so his book is called Lolly's Apple. Lolly was someone in one of his survivor stories. It was launched some years ago. In fact, truth be told, I actually spoke at that launch, but that was a good few years ago. And this woman who's now representing Australia at Eurovision, her song was used to launch his book of a Holocaust survivor story.
Amazing.
So it's just quite, it's a,
yeah.
It's a connection nevertheless, and just a heartwarming connection.
Absolutely
actually.
Wonderful. What isn't so wonderful is Malka Lifa, 48th court hearing tomorrow.
That's right. That's gonna, her 48th hearing, which is pretty appalling in itself.
Mm.
And added to that, there's going to be a protest staged outside the courtroom in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem District Court. And it's going to run for 4 hours from 8 o'clock in the morning until 12:30 lunchtime, 8:30 to 12:30. And this demonstration is going to be by, there are three sisters from Melbourne who claim to have been victims of Malka Lifa, at that Jewish school in Melbourne many years ago. They're going to be there, and others who are campaigning for, you know, justice for child abuse victims are going to be demonstrating outside the court. So as you say, court hearing number 48, still debating whether or not the last time there was a hearing, which was a week ago, a psychiatrist who works in Jerusalem at a mental health center was cross-examined. And he said that she is not fit to be extradited to Australia. And obviously she was used as a defense psychiatrist, you know, by her lawyers. And so the saga continues 10 years later,
surely they just now need
Melbourne to go to Israel.
I mean, surely this shouldn't go on indefinitely. Surely they have to make a ruling at some point. You know, they bring
there
evidence, the state brings evidence, she brings defense, and then somebody decides.
Well, that's what should be happening, and that's what the court needs to be deciding, because it's a sorry reflection on Israel's, you know, much vaunted judicial system, and obviously, you know, those who claim to be her victims are waiting for justice to be done. Whether if she's innocent or if she's guilty, you know, at least let the court case proceed, and there can be some finality and clarity either way.
It's absolutely soul-destroying. That's unfortunately where we leave it. Vic Aladef, Chief Executive Officer of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. Thank you, as always.